nur Halacha, Halacha Nun Beis. Halacha Nun Beis. Okay, Halacha Nun Beis, let's begin. Klala Shel Davar. Page Ein Gimel. Page Ein Gimel, Halacha Nun Beis, Klala Shel Davar. The following is the rule. Yelech Adam Bebida Beinoinis. A person should always, always go down the middle path. Don't be an extremist in either direction. You always should look at other people in your life and say, notice, there are people that are more machmir, there are people that are more makel, and I am somewhere. Oh, you sit over here in the front. You know, we're chair. You want to sit over here? Sit over here.
Dr. Friedman left.
You
can still
A person should always be in the middle. Klaloi shel davar yelech adam bibi the beinonis shavuchol deyash v'deya ad shayu deyo isav mechuvanos le'emtsu'im. Everything should be in the center. There's one exception. There's only one exception. All of a person's midos should be stingy. Should you be generous? Should you be angry? Should you be calm? Should you daven a long shemona esrei? Daven a short shemona esrei? Always put yourself in the middle of what is accepted in society. Amongst the people that you know, try to be the middle. There's only one exception. What is that? Humility. Humility. Me'oid, me'oid, have shefal ruach. The Mishnah says a person should go to an extreme, extremely humble. That is the only exception. All of your ways you shall set. Yikonu, you shall set with precision. Since there's something called kina, jealousy, taiva, desire, kavod, derech ra, I'm going to be an extremist. I'm not going to have any kina, any taiva, kavod. No taiva. Let's focus just on taiva for eating. I'm going to train myself not to eat, to starve myself. I'm never going to drink meat. I'm not going to drink wine. Not good. This is not good. Since Chazal say taiva, let's focus now on taiva. Taiva is a midah ra'a. It's moitzias ha'odam min ha'olam. Taiva here, we're focusing now on taiva for food. There's a taiva for cover, the taiva for noshim. Let's focus now on food. Since it's a bad thing, I won't eat bas, I won't drink wine, no, I'm not going to live in a beautiful home, I'm not going to dress in beautiful clothing. Ki im hasak shmatis hasak vehatzemer sackcloth wool vehakasha hard wool v'chayetzvachem going to comrade Edom like the priests of Edom. Goyim only know from extremes. This is a very basic principle in halacha. A guy when he brings a carbon in the base hamidrash ki basi base tefila l'chol ho'amim. What carbon can a guy bring? Only one type of carbon, a carbon oila. What happens to the oila? It is completely burnt. Why? Because a non-Jew, they don't... But a Jew, what is the vast majority of korbanos that are brought by Jews? The chachatos, shlamim, toida. What happens to those korbanos? Part of it goes to Hashem, the chelev and the emurim, and the basa, the majority, goes to man, goes to the kohanim. It's eaten by the owners. You also enjoy a portion of the sacrifice. You know, this principle is unheard of in the non-Jew. We take it for granted because that's what we live with. But this principle that you bring a sacrifice to a god and you eat it? You're cheating. What do you mean you eat it? You eat the sacrifice? That's ridiculous. When you bring a sacrifice, it means everything goes to Hashem, to God. You don't take a part to yourself. Klal Yisrael is a very bizarre concept for a non-Jew to understand, that when you bring a sacrifice to Hashem, you eat the meat. How could that possibly be? You eat the meat. And in fact, Chazal say you don't even achieve atonement unless it's eaten. The pasuk indicates you have to eat it. This is why, because this is what the tafkid is. A Kadosh Baruch Hu does not want you to be an extremist. A Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to live in this world in a way, and when you come close to Hashem, it involves you also having enjoyment, f- physical enjoyment. The Komrei Edom, the priests of Edom, they don't understand this principle. Goy does not understand this principle, and that's why when a non-Jew brings a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, the only type of carbon that he brings is a carbon oila, which indeed is completely burnt to Hashem. So this is a print that is what when the goyim, we find the monks, right? The monks, where do they live in? They live in isolation. What? Monasteries. A goy does not get celibacy. Why is there celibacy by goyim? Because in their principle, if you want to be religious, you have to go to an extreme. You're not allowed to be with a woman. That's selfish. If you're devoted your life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you cannot have any physical pleasure. You cannot live with a woman. You have to devote yourself. And you should know that I always believe
that
is...
That wasn't until the Middle Ages, by the way.
Protestants. That's the
Catholics. I mean, originally, they were only Catholics, but they called Catholics, but they were allowed to get married, but the Catholic Church decided they couldn't afford to
support
maintain the families of the priests. So then they outlawed it.
So you're saying it's a craft reason.
It's
an excuse. Okay, there's a theological...
Yes. Really?
That's his history.
This is not simple. It's a very complicated issue. It's a theological...
Like a Yashvi, he was never married.
They know today as the fact, research online, that the one who they call Yashka was married with children.
Right.
Their Yashka was married with children. Okay, this is theology. Go for a PhD in Princeton. And theology, religion, you learn about all the different ideas of religion. But this is something which Chazal tells us that by Goyim, they do not have this ability to appreciate that Yadus, that when you serve Hashem, part of serving Hashem is to include in your service the Yetzer. Is to incorporate the Yetzer Hara. By a Goy, it's only when you serve Hashem, it has to be 100% devoted to Hashem. It fits very well into their theology that the celibacy and when you bring korbanos, it's an oila. Klal Yisrael is nothing like that. Everything that we do is about eating. You notice the whole religion is about eating. We're eating and eating. We're enjoying ourselves. When you serve Hashem, the way you serve Hashem is through Gashmi. It's a whole different approach to religion. Okay, we take this for granted, and the goyim have copied from us today to some degree. Yes, so there are, but even when you say a parish, Chazal will say, the Chazal tells that the person will be judged in the next world for every benefit that he had an opportunity to derive pleasure from, and he withheld. Oh, but there's something called precious. The answer is, there is a time for everything. You want to go, be a parish, you want to improve your midos, so the 6 days of the week, be a vegetarian. Don't eat meat because you want to work on your midos, you want to discipline your mind. Excellent. There are books and books and svarim about the koich of fasting and precious, but it's not 100%. There are times when it's a mitzvah to enjoy this world. Shabbos and Yom Tov and the Chagim, v'chulu, if you have an opportunity to go on vacation to the Alps, to travel. There is a time in life for everything. A goy doesn't understand that. A goy, maybe today, you can't generalize, but generally, when a goy brings a carbon, it's only a carbon oila, not a carbon that is eaten, because they have a difficult time relating to that principle. You need to be part of Klal Yisrael to learn how to serve Hashem with the Yetzer Hara. And he writes here explicitly, and don't go to the extreme. V'gam zeu derech ra. He also lech espad. Do not go to an extreme. V'chayv al l'shach m'vena. V'amahal derech zo nikro chayte. I think always this is the biggest bracha for us, that they have celibacy. Because if they did not have this thing called celibacy, there would be a church on every corner. Every corner would be another church. Just like there's a shtiebel today in Flatbush. On every corner. And the churches don't even—they're like ghost towns. It only attracts the mishugoyim. The church, the priesthood only attracts mishugoyim. You live in a world today like this, promiscuity. lewdness. Who would want to be a priest? Who would want to go through this? Not to indulge in what you turn on. You can't even live. You turn on the television. You go on the bus. If you're a guy, okay, it's hard enough for Shomer Shabbos to control himself. But a guy who would want to. So who's it attract? They no one. That's why they're few and far in between. But if they were allowed to do what we do.
Yes, they do.
Secretly, they do it. Juice J. Yeah, no, those are juice. Those are phonies. Those are even by their standards. But if they were allowed to live, it would be a sakana for us. It would be a sakanas nefashas. They would just preach hate, contempt, and we couldn't even walk the streets.
You feel this weakens the church?
What?
This attitude weakened the church?
The celibacy?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the biggest bracha for us. The big, it has weakened them to an enormous degree. What? It's true, but I believe, I can't, I don't know, that is an evil, but that evil is something which we can just push away if we want to. If they didn't have that issue, and they every priest was married with 10 children, it would be just like a shtibel. It would be a rebbe. Every corner. And what would they preach? Hatred. They would halacha biyadua, Esav sonei Yaakov. And for every shtibel you have in Flatbush, you have two churches. And we couldn't even walk the streets. The pikuach nefesh. And now who does the priesthood attract? Meshugoyim. It attracts sick people. People the whole day. What do they do the whole day? They're dealing with abuse cases. The whole day, the church, the only thing you read about at the church online is, what do the Pope say about this priest, this abuse case, that abuse case? Don't you have an agenda? Aren't you religious leaders? Don't you have an agenda for this world? They're too busy with their own problems, Baruch Hashem, to deal with us. They are. They're too busy with their own problems to deal with us. Let's go further. That's what happens when you go to an extreme. When you go to an extreme, that's what happens. So it's a blessing for us in disguise, to some degree at least. Let us go further, Abba. Let's go. The first one, a person who's an extremist is a chayte. And here's an unbelievable proof from the Nazir. A nazir, when his term of nazirus is over, he brings a carbon chatos. He sinned. What did he sin? He denied himself pleasure. It's a sin. But this is a sin that is sanctioned by the Torah. It's a sin l'shem shamayim. By denying yourself pleasure, you gain discipline. You gain musar. And that is an advantage that the Torah sanctions, but only for a period of time. 30 days. You need more? 60 days. You want a little bit more? But it comes to an end. V'achar yishte hanazir yayin. Then you resume, enjoy life. It's not a milah to deny yourself the pleasures of this world. A person who denies himself everything, how much more so? And that's why parents are very big achrayis to make sure their children enjoy life. It always shook me up. I was a fellow here who came to the shiur. He's not well now. He said to me once, he really changed my whole attitude. He said to me, I was brought up in a generation where I think most parents, my friends, their parents, their attitude was, we brought you into this world, we've done for you the greatest kindness by bringing you into this world, an opportunity to be nene miziv hashchina, coming into this world will enable you to go maba. We've done already for you the biggest favor by bringing you into this world. And now, you're on your own. You're on your own. Don't be a schnorrer. Don't have expectations that we're going to do everything for you. Make a life for yourself. Support yourself. We're not here to make you happy. We did you the favor by bringing you into this world. So someone said to me a couple of years ago. He said to me, that attitude he believes he doesn't work with that attitude. His attitude is, if I brought a person into this world, it is my obligation, responsibility, and duty to make that person happy the best that I can. I brought him into this world. He wants a bicycle, he gets a bicycle. It's my obligation. I brought people into this world, they should be miserable. I should torture them, I should deny them, I shouldn't give them an allowance, I shouldn't give them a toy, I shouldn't. Now, of course, you don't want to spoil them to the degree where they'll be spoiled brats and mishugoyim. But where is, there's always a balance, but
there's
what,
gotta
but, there's got to be a balance. But even when there's a balance, you're always on one side of the balance. You got to be very close to the center. But what side are you on? I was typically under the impression, most of the parents that I know, my friends, they're on, there's a balance. Believe me, my chaverim, they have plenty. Baruch, some of them are spoiled brats, okay? Some of them really have too much.
When the kids feel
but the parents, when they gave them, when they gave them all this blessing, they always gave it to them with mussar. And the mussar is, I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing. I did you a favor by bringing you into this world. Do something for yourself. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll give you whatever you need. But it's not my duty. It's not my obligation. This fellow told me, we're living now in a different generation where parents should have, he says, the attitude, what, you brought a person into this world that he should be miserable? If you have the ability to give, to make a child happy, you have an obligation. Don't say these, no, if I'm going to make him happy, I'm going to spoil him, I'm going to ruin him, I'm going to give him too much, he's going to become a dependent, he's going to become a leech. Yeah, it's true, so be very careful. Take precautions. Take precautions and make sure. Balance everything. But what is your attitude? And he said the attitude is, you did something. You brought a person here. What, you're just going to leave him hanging? It's a whole different approach. It really, it shook me up quite a bit. Different attitude.
The
balance, yeah?
The difference is, if the child feels entitled...
Right, of course. That's the problem. 100%. But even with everything being said, there are dangers both ways. Which side should you be on and worry about the other dangers? That's the question.
You have to,
it's a very delicate balance, and every person is different. Every situation is different. You're right. I agree with you 100%.
And then he appreciates it. And at that point, then he learns the value of it.
There's a child in India now.
Suing his parents. It's in the news. That's what I'm thinking. That's why this whole thing.
They didn't ask his permission to
birth. Not a child.
No, I know. I understand. He didn't ask permission. They didn't get my permission to bring me into the life.
You had me by accident.
No, you did it for your
own pleasure. So therefore, the child is suing his parents for bringing him into this world without his consent. No, it's in the news. It's all over the news. Took away his eye, his tongue. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's continue. Rabbi Yisai, Mr. Weiss, let's leave. Lefichach, let's continue. Tzivui chachamim shelo yimna adam atzma elamin adam shemana Torah b'levad. Therefore, a person should only deny himself for the Torah. There's already enough things in the Torah that are osur. Don't look for more chumras. There are enough chumras in this world. But he explained the balance. V'lo yiyos atzma b'shvuos, do not make oaths u'v'nedodim and vows al devarim hamutodim v'oidam zal lo dayecha masha osra Torah. It's not enough. For the Torah said already is osra. It already gave you 200. It gave you 300. It gave you 365 loisa says. You have to go make for yourself more. Lo dayecha masha osra Torah ela she'ato oisra lecha dvar machedim. Uvichlal ze oisim ha-mis'anim tamid, those who fast daily, continuously. Enim g'derech toivah, he writes, he is an amazing thing. He is not a fan of people who fast every single day. Tamid, don't fast too much. V'chein amru ha-mis'agef atzmai, person it's mis'agef, he tortures himself. V'tainis nikra chayte, he's called a sinner. Shema Yitzdarech Lebriyos, because he's going to get sick, and then he's going to be in the hospital, and the people are going to have to take care of him. Aval Adam Sheyitzrei Miskaber Olav Mutul Lesagiv Atzma Ulachnias Yitzrei. However, he does condone someone who has problems with his Yitzhara, and those people indeed need to go to extremes. Therapy, they need to strain themselves out, and that indeed may involve doing extreme things. People have jobs. People who are supported by the community, scribes, rebbeim, poyalim, workers, it is forbidden for them to fast because they're not going to do a good job. They should do a good job. The Luhoya Kalish Baruch Khafetz Bitainasayim Sabal Israel, if the Kalish Baruch wanted more fast days, Hashem would have given us more fast days. Hashem only gave us one fast day, Yom Kippur. Nothing else is Minat Torah. What? Chacham added a lot. But the Torah only gave us one. Ach Lashom Mitam El Sheyikon Watzaliyah Mipanim. The only thing Hashem wants is that we humble ourselves before Hashem. Shenemar Velukim Osa. Hashem has made this world all for the purpose sheyiru milufanav, that we should be afraid of Hashem. I love the story. I tell this all the time with Irving Bunim and of Aaron Kala Zechet Zechet Sadik Levracha. They were going. They went to Washington D.C. I don't know what it was for. It must have been something with the Vad Hatzala. It must have been the Vad Hatzala to save Jews, either before, during the war, after the war, and they met early in the morning. They had a driver to take them to Washington D.C. to meet someone, a big official. Who knows who they met? Maybe the vice president. Maybe it was Kissinger. I don't know. I don't know who they met. They met someone all the way at the top, and Aaron Cutler was with the driver, and he goes in the car first. He picks up Irving Bunim. And Irving Bunim gets to the car, and Aaron Cutler hands him a brown bag with bagels. And it was a tainist tzibur. I don't know if it was tainist sester, if it was Shavas Batamos. It was a tainist tzibur. And he says to Bunim, eat! Eat! We're going now to Washington. You have to have koyach. This is for Klal Yisrael. Eat! So Irving Bunim said to Aaron Cutler, Rebbe, it's okay. I feel perfectly fine. I anyway don't eat. You know it's going to be a very stressful day. Eat. He said, I really don't need to eat. I don't feel comfortable. It's a tinus. My whole life I never ate on a tinus. So if Aaron let him get away with it. He didn't eat. They went to Washington. They had their meetings. They spent a whole day. They get back into the car to go back. 4-hour drive, 5-hour drive to get back to New York. And the tinus was not yet over. Probably was in the summertime. Like Shavuot time, it was not yet over. And Irving Bunim returns to Aaron and he says, Rebbe, I don't feel well. Can I eat? I don't feel well. The bagels are still here in the car. And he said to him, do you really feel you're in a sakana? Do you really feel that you're... He said, no, I don't feel, but you know, I'm just, you know, I'm very weak. So he said, I'm sorry, it's a tinus today. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat. But you said before I can eat. Before we were going for Klal Yisrael.
Right.
Now, it's just you. And you can't eat. When we were going for Klal Yisrael, you can eat. This is exactly what it says here in the Sefer Chasidim. Hasoifrim, Hamilamdim, Hapoyalim, Asurim lisageif atzman. You got to be top of your game because you're working for Klal Yisrael. You're working for your family. Mr. Planik.
No, what does sageif mean?
To torture, to afflict, to afflict, torment, to torment, afflict, torture your body, your physical being, by denying yourself basic pleasure. In this case, food, drink, or all different types of pleasures of this world. It is forbidden to do this unless you're working for Klal Yisrael. Then you are not the Baal HaBas. And then there's one thing, says my father once sent an invitation to a simcha to, I think it was Rabbi Lamb, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, may have a refuah shalem. And he said, he invited him to, maybe it was even my bar mitzvah. Maybe it was even my bar mitzvah. My father was very close with him. And he said, I think he said to my father, time is not my own. I would, as an individual, I would go. I would come, clearly come. But it's not my time. I am a public figure. What he's saying, I'm giving a Perush Rashi, and he's saying, I'm a public figure. Every second, time is not my own. I work for a very big institution, and every single second there's a need, there's an obligation, fundraising, teaching, of who knows what, of planning, whatever it is. Time is not my own. People who are melamdim, soifrim, all these different professions, even if you're just a Rosh Habayis, you have children, that's it. It's not about you anymore. You have a family. Time is not your own. You're working for someone else. You have an obligation to take care of yourself. Even though you would prefer to fast and do all these very holy things. Yeah, very nice. You can do all these holy things, but at what expense? At what cost? Who's going to suffer? If you'll suffer, fine. But if your family will suffer, or the people who you represent are going to suffer, then you're not the Baal of us. What? Listen, I every situation obviously is different. You can't generalize. Okay, you can't generalize. Obviously, a healthy rebbeim today, I would imagine, don't eat. Okay, they get out. The yeshiva gets out very early, and it's expected. I would imagine that the talmidim should learn mussar to see that the rebbe is fasting. That itself is a limud. It's also the rebbe is tired and weak. That's also a limud for the children. You're dealing with unusual circumstances. Obviously, then obviously maybe the answer is yes. I mean, you can't generalize. Look, you have a child, take care of a parent in a hospital, and they're running back and forth. Well, you don't think you can find the heter in a second that you're allowed to eat? Of course. Okay, the heterim to eat on a tainus are very easy, especially when it's not about you. If it's about you, you can also find it. You can also find the heter. But when it's about someone else, then it's very easy. Then it's a whole different story. Halacha Nun Gimel. A few more minutes. I want to spend some more time today talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. This week, tomorrow. Tomorrow is Zayin Adar Aleph. And Zayin Adar Aleph is, in America, in Chutz Liaretz, we observe the yard site of Moshe Rabbeinu. So I want to spend some time today, tomorrow, maybe the next day, learning about Moshe Rabbeinu's Milos. So we'll do a few more minutes before we get there. Ki Kav Lakov, Nun Gimel. Kav Lakov, this is the pasuk. Kav Lakov, Kav Tzav, Latzav, Nun. Okay, the Haftarah of what parasha?
Yisro.
No, it's Yisro. It's Yisro. Yisro. Not Bashal. Shalach is the Shiras Devara. Shiras Devara, Yisro. Okay, so this means there are many perushim of what this means. So the Pshut Shel Mikra is not what he says now. Kav Lakov means that the Jewish people, they say a little bit. Kav Lakov, Kav, the Pshut Shel Mikra is very nasty, Rabbi Yisai. If you learn the parish, and these people when you're shy, we just learned it here together. It's not very pleasant. It means that the people are in such a pathetic state of Yira Shemayim and learning is, you can't teach them. It almost sounds like it's describing this generation. You can't, Hashem, I think the back shouldn't say that. You can't, all right, it's too late. A lot of things are too late in life. Kav Lakov is just a minute. Don't overwhelm the student with too much homework. Just kav, a teeny lesson, a bite. Give him a sound bite. Give him, you want to teach Torah? Don't overwhelm the Talmidim with too much study. Just a small little dosage, a small sound bite of Musar, of Torah, that's enough. If you go, and if the shiur goes more than 5 minutes, he already is going to space out. And who knows where this will lead him. Who knows the effect you'll have on his poor mind, what it'll do to him. So this is what Yeshai is mocking the Jewish people. Kav Lakov. You're telling me, don't teach me more than a teeny little mashu. Okay, that is the pshuta shel mikra. That's what the Mitzudos David says. And it means a little bit mashu. Don't overwhelm me. But that's not how he learns over here pshat. He learns a more, much deeper pshat, and that is nida kineged nida. Kikav lakav, a measure for a measure, not a measure and another measure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisparach Shmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisparach Shmo, Yisparach Zichro, Mishalein, is always a very elaborate expression describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem was blessed, and his name and his memory is blessed, Mishalein Gemul, he learns pshat in this pasuk, a Jewish pshat, Gemul, reward and punishment, mida b'mida, measure for measure. Whenever you do a chesed with another person, The day will come when Hashem will pay you back nida kineged nida. So be good. Be generous. If you'll be generous to someone else, Hashem will be very generous to you. Nida b'mida hein sechara toiv hein oynishara. Ketzat. Adam choyte. That's the advantage of living a long life. The advantage of arichas yamim is if you really want, have the desire to look, you'll be able to see Hashem's nida kinegan nida. Person lives a short life, Rahman al-Itzlan, you don't have the opportunity, you're not here in this world long enough to see nida kinegan nida. So when you go to the next world with the memories of this world, or even in this world, you're limited in appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nidas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's neman l'shalim socher. But if a person is zoiche to arichas yamim, with a sound mind, and he wants, he has a desire, he has a golden opportunity that other youngsters don't have. And that is what? To see Hashem's nida kineged nida. If you live a life where you pay attention to this world, you can look at your chaverim, you can look at people that you knew from your youth, and you see the cycle. You see the shalshelis hadoyos, how Kadosh Baruch Hu is neman l'shalim sachar, both reward and punishment, and you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have to have patience. That only comes with arichas yamin, especially in chutz li'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, to live arichas in Eretz Yisrael, that's incredible, because that's like double. You're getting in this respect, you're getting mamish, you're getting a bang for your buck. Because in Eretz Yisrael, the Midah Keneged Midah is accelerated. What takes in America, the Midah Keneged Midah, 20 years, in Eretz Yisrael takes 10 years. So if you live in an Eretz Yisrael 100 years, it's like you live 200 years in America, even more. Because the degree of Midah Keneged Midah in Eretz Yisrael is that much more accelerated. Okay, the Rabban says this. So you have over here, Arichas Yomim, and he writes here, Kav Lakov Gumul Nida Bemida Him Schar Vachatoy Vahein Oish. Ketzat. Adam Chayte Bavur Mamoin. A person sins because of money. I Bavur Kivoidoi. Ah, Kavoid. It's Kedai to every you'll get honor. Oi Hanas Gufoi. Oi Loyola Chayte. Woe to the sinner. Nifravim En Oish Vachayt Kishachata. He's going to be punished. He'll be punished exactly Nida. What you thought you were going to profit, you will see it came out of your pocket and it came out of your pocket. You gotta be patient. You gotta be patient to see the loss. You sin because you thought you could make a couple of bucks. You will see that exact money that you profit, you'll lose somewhere else. You have faith in Hashem and you give away your money for a good cause. Just wait. Be patient. The day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back a lot more ribbis. The person was a mammon, a kavod, a michael on the mammon. Wow, the day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the kavod against your will. You don't even have a choice. Meshalmin loy sachar davar shechashabo. You never, in your wildest dreams, imagine you receive this reward. Ki shloima hamelach loy shal al takanasay v'loy al mammon v'loy al kavod. Shloima HaMelech never asks for money. He never asks for kavod. He never asks for takonos. I don't mean takonos. He didn't ask. We think he did, right? We look at Shloima HaMelech and we laugh, right? But he, that's not true. He's setting the record straight. Hashem said to Shlomo, what do you want, Shlomo? He says, all I want is a shtender and a bench, an old chair, and a candle to sit and learn Chochmas Hashem. It worked. You're asking a kasha. Many tried but did not succeed, right? That's what you're asking, right? Not everyone, every people give away all their money for tzedakah and they don't see the return on their investment. That's what you're asking? So the answer is because we don't have patience. Maybe it's the next generation. Maybe, we'll see. Look, I recently learned this, reviewed this halacha, is that no one ever got rich from being a tzaddik. Chazal say, if you're a tzaddik, it's a school of Hashiras. The Rama says, Le'oilam, lo'i ro'inu mi sheheshir from Sandukais. So what are Chazal trying to fool us? What's going on over here? So the commentators, I remember who says, it says, Why not? Shema Yigroi Machik. Pasha reason is the only time these segulois work is where there are no impediments. If a person is a sandik and later in the day gets into a fight and says Lashon Hara, out the door. Okay, the big schos. So there's no tzaddik b'zman hazeh sheyech yasatev leyechta that these segulos are going to work for because there are always impediments. But then they say something very frightening. And they say, not frightening, it's very interesting what they say, is that sandukos, okay, gevaldik ashirus. A person today, there's no tzaddik b'aretz asher yasatev, you have chatoim, so they're going to prevent you from cashing in big. But the very least, the sandikois, you have to have emuna, is going to protect you from yisurim. That we all see, Rachman al-San, people, they have problems. And these problems eat away at them. Okay? They eat them up. They suffer. Whether Rachman al-San, it's physical problems, whether it's problems in life. If only I didn't have this problem, I would have Yishuv Hadas to live. You don't realize the sandikois. You don't know what could have happened. You could have made a wrong turn. You could have made a big business decision. You don't know how lucky you are that you didn't make that decision. You never would have known. You never even knew. And you know why? You had a zuchus. You had a bracha. You had sandukos. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. We don't see the positive, so we really don't know. If you live long enough, sometime, and you want to understand, sometimes you're able to figure things out. You put the pieces together and you realize, wow, things could have really turned around. It takes a lot of chachma. It takes a lot of, you have to have a longevity to appreciate these things, but we really don't know. Further, he only wanted a shtender with a chair and a candle to sit and learn Hashem's Torah. And what I'm meichel on the money in the covenant, all the gedulas of David, my father David, I'm meichel on all the stuff. And what happened? Last sois ritzoyin boiroi v'nasan le'kodesh baruch hu eshtehen. He got the chachma. Afil ma'asher lo'yishol. Harim Yishois says an incredible thing to remember. He wanted the right things in life. And when you want the right things in life, he got everything. He got everything in life. Okay, haray. So my mother used to tell me about a shidduch. I used to get Muslim about shidduch. My mother used to tell me about a shidduch. There was a boy in RJJ. He was tall and good looking and everything going for him. Everything. And there was a certain Talmud Chacham on the Lower East Side that very much wanted him for his daughter. So he went out with the daughter, with his daughter, and the daughter was not a pretty girl, put it like that. Okay? And he could have gotten anywhere. But he could not break the heart. Could not break the heart of this Talmud Chacham. He was a person, an incredible person. And he knew that if he would say no, so can you imagine such a person? I mean, who are people like this today? And this Bacher, how old was he? 22 years old? He married her. And my mother told me some more details because he could not break the heart of this person. So my mother said, what was the schar? All of his children were and still are the biggest mitzuyanim in Mamish and Klal Yisrael, and the whole Klal Yisrael ran after his children for shidduchim. And he talked God for his children the best shidduchim of all the milas. All the milas. My mother used to give me musa. You see, if you do what's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry, he pays you back. He pays you back. If only I listen to my mother, right? If you do what's right. He was moichel on things that the average boy could have got. And look how Hashem paid him back. Hashem paid him back with his children. So that's exactly what he says. Shlomo HaMelech, I'm not interested, I only want the Chochma. Toras Hashem. And Hashem gave him everything. What did Shlomo HaMelech not have? There's nothing in the world that he did not have. It says in Chazal that he sat on Hashem's throne. He didn't have an iPhone. He probably had a lot better. He had technology they had there. He had a private jet. Right? I think the batteries there went out. Here are more batteries. I got you more batteries here in this box. AAA batteries. I think it's the batteries. That's about the batteries. You had to put in, afterwards. Does this work? Okay. I think it's going in and out, the batteries, because this... That was a separate issue. He married too many women. The wives, the women. They always do you in the wives. The women, right? The shidduch did him in. He knows what's going on. He is in charge. We're going to learn now Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll lead right into this paragraph and we'll stop. Moshe Rabbeinu, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow, his birthday is tomorrow. Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, leave me alone. Let me go and destroy Klal Yisrael. I'm going to go make a new nation. Moshe could have been the father of a new nation. It would have been called Elokei Moshe, Elokei Moshe, Velokei Moshe. Did I forget to say Elokei Moshe? Okay. No more Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov. Hashem was willing to make a new nation only for Moshe Rabbeinu because he was fed up with Klal Yisrael when they worshipped the Egel. That's what could have been. And Moshe says, Hashem, it's not about me. It's not about me. I'm Meichel on my COVID. Klal Yisrael, U'Moshe lechoshash b'zeh. Kim lahatzolas Yisrael. Lekach neskayim. So what happened? Hashem preserved Klal Yisrael, and Hashem also made from Moshe Rabbeinu the greatest members of Klal Yisrael came from Moshe Rabbeinu. Uvenei Rechavia, the children of Rechavia. Who's Rechavia? It's one of Moshe Rabbeinu's many names. That's what we're going to learn about Moshe Rabbeinu's names. One of Moshe Rabbeinu's many names, Ravu Lamola. They multiplied above and beyond. Mishishim Ribay, more than 600,000. Moshe Rabbeinu's descendants in the time of Direi Hayamim were more than 600,000. So in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu got what he didn't ask for. Hashem says, I'm going to wipe out Klal Yisrael and I'm going to make a new nation from you. Moshe says, I don't care about myself. It's not about me. It's about Klal Yisrael. Don't save Klal Yisrael. Forget about me. I'm Moichel myself. So what happened? Hashem saved Klal Yisrael. And from Moshe came anyway the same 600,000 people. So it goes to show that when you do the right thing, you never lose. You never lekach tiknu techila birchas, and that is why tiknu techila birchas chayin hadasa. This is an incredible insight, only from the Sefer, exclusive. You're not going to find this in the Atet. Exclusive from the Sefer Chasidim, lekach tiknu techila birchas chayin hadas. That is why these berachos go first. Before we come to our personal needs of refa'enu, barech aleinu, Hashem, I want money, barech aleinu, I want refuah, we want stature and klal yishol geula. Before we get to all of these things, it's the battery. Before we get to all of these things, the first, do what Hashem wants. Hashem wants you to daven for chokhmah, to know Hashem. Hashem wants you to daven for slichu mechila. Hashem wants you to do teshuva. That's why these things are the first things in the Shemoneh Esher, because these are things which are important to Hashem. They're not important necessarily to you as much. We care about money, refuah, glory, all the things which come later on, statehood, all these beautiful things that come later on in Shemoneh Esher. But what do you put first? You put first the things, the spiritual matters, that are things that Hashem is concerned about, that we should do teshuva. We should know Hashem, chodim das of the chokhmas Hashem, and forgiveness. And then we'll come to the things that we need, and we're not going to lose by putting Hashem before us. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to learn about Moshe Rabbeinu.
That was after Rosh. Number two is I look at my iPad, I don't find
Shmos.
Not
Yisro.
I don't find the
Carla
on the screen anymore.
It's not there?
After Hazino or something, I don't see it.
But this website is still up?
It comes up Monte Carlo, but doesn't come
up. I haven't updated in a very long time.
Huh?
It's my fault. I have not updated in a very long time.
I see that.
Since I don't get only any visitors.
Since I just started.
I know, I haven't been in a very long time. I'm gonna
we change a lot of time and effort.
To me,
two more, see, and this is another short story when you want.
My father, he used to come to my father when he was a student at RJJ. He was in the yeshiva every single day. On Sunday, he would get all the boys together and teach them homiletics. He would teach Shabbos and rabbis. And this famous book of Ethics from Sinai, three volumes. So what is Ethics from Sinai? Those three volumes. That was what he taught, or what he was machadesh spontaneously when he taught the boys homiletics. How do you teach homiletics? So he took a mission of periodics. And he taught again how to darsh, how to talk, and he had the boys practice and give speeches and this and that. So from what he taught those years in RJJ, on Sunday with the boys, he came together and made it It was a spontaneous homiletics class that he taught unofficially. It was like, why you have class on homiletics? It was just, you know, extracurricular. He gathered them, mini rabbis from college, so let's train them.
Who was that?
Irving Bune. Explained it. said over eloquently what our Aragorn just said. My father told me he was blown away. Normally, though, a Rosh Hashanah says a shir, and they have to sit in harbor for weeks and months to figure out what he said, and then they can give it over. On the spot. On the spot, he's taking notes. And he gets up, and he's in the and he's more Okay, Rabbi, so let's learn about Moshe Rabbeinu.